Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and today we are talking about astral travel during dream state, how to recognize when you're astral traveling. We've been talking about this for the last episode. I don't think we even got to it on the first episode. We scheduled the topic because we dealt with callers, so we're going to be continuing that discussion today and taking your calls for on-air readings. I want to invite all of you to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. Also on Facebook and on Twitter. Phone number for our readings, 914-338-0164. That's our call-in number. Please press 1 to let us know that you'd like to speak with us. And for more conversation than the radio show can accommodate, 562-596-7818. But I think we're going to take one of our callers first, Neil, and then we'll get into our discussion. So 305 is waiting. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
My name is Seema. How are you?
Hi, my name is Seema. Wait, you know what? It's really faded. I'm going to turn off. I've got water boiling too, which is making it more difficult to hear you. What's your name?
Seema.
Oh, we just spoke with you, didn't we?
No, when?
Last week. I have you here. You're born on 12/20/82. Is that right?
No, January 13, 1982.
S-E-E-M-A. Okay.
Okay, so what is your question?
What's your birthday?
It's 1/13/82.
Okay.
What's your question?
I think this is my first time calling your show. I don't recall ever calling your show before.
Yeah, I don't. Her voice doesn't sound familiar.
Okay, go ahead.
My question is related to career and basically like changes that's going on. I'm looking for a new job in the field that I'm majoring in, which is accounting business. And I'm also looking into moving after that, after I get the job. So I want to see if you pick up anything on that.
3, 5, 7. Okay.
35 years old.
She's 35, but she's a 25-7, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so 10 years beyond.
So so let me get this straight. So what's your main, if you want to focus on your main question, what would it be, Seema?
If you see a new job coming in anytime soon.
Are you into technology or computer, or what do you do?
I'm doing business and accounting, and it deals with that, with data and stuff like that.
You have software and stuff like that you deal with in that type
of
work.
Microsoft and Excel and Outlook.
Yeah. So and you're doing work on a computer generally for that type of work, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so
yes.
That would be why you're picking that up.
Okay, well, I kind of see a job maybe within 2 weeks. Which would put us roughly right at the beginning of April. Are any of the jobs you're applying to, would any of them require a long distance travel or even a move?
Not currently.
What of the jobs you're inquiring about, which one has
the travel would be like, I would say like an drive, like an hour drive the most.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get to. So there's one where you might have to drive about an hour.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one that might come in. I'm not going to say for certain, but that one might come in. Are you interested in that particular one?
Yes, if it does.
Mm-hmm. Well, that one might come in. And, you know, I mean, an hour's drive is still a pretty good length of time to go to work, back and forth to work.
It is a long time.
Yeah. Is that with traffic or without traffic?
That'll be with traffic.
Okay. So that's the one I'm sort of looking at a little bit. In the past, in your past, did you ever have a short-term job that lasted less than 6 months ever in your life?
Right now, the job that I have, I work from home, and I've had it since August of last year.
September, October, November, December, January, February. Well, that's about right. So, so would you be quitting that job with a new job?
It all depends. I want to try to keep it as part-time, but if it's too much for me to deal with, then I'll leave the job.
Well, right now, the way I see it, is that you'd get this other job, and you might have to quit the one you've got as a temporary
okay.
home job. But that might change. But that's what I'm seeing right now. I'm not getting a vibe that it's a definite. The vibration
okay.
seems to be real. So it's outstandingly valid in some respects, but it's not set in stone yet. There must be something that, you know, it could be a time element. April, anybody in your family born in March or April?
No.
I wonder if you're picking up a four. Maybe someone's a four.
How many siblings do you have?
I have a brother and sister, and it's September and December.
September.
So there's
December.
There's three siblings all together.
Yeah.
Are your parents together?
Yes.
Okay, well, you know, the best I can say is that at the end of March, beginning of April, you may get this job. Right now I'm looking at the job that's the one that's an hour away. Are there two others closer that you've already applied to?
Yes.
Yes, meaning there are two others closer?
Yeah, there's two others that I've applied to.
Uh-huh.
I've applied to many places. I've applied to like 10 different places that deals with the field.
But two of those are closer to you than this hour one.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's still a possibility you might, you know, it's kind of a race right now, Seema, because it's between the two that are closer to you and the one that's an hour away. That's where I seem to be standing right now. The one that's an hour away may be the one that you might get, but it'd be easier for you to get a job closer to you, maybe 15, 20 minutes away as opposed to an hour. So I don't know which one's going to come in yet, but of the three options,
okay.
That's where we seem to be standing right now, and it would be sometime late. Maybe early April.
Okay.
Maybe that's the one.
Do you think it would do you think it would have anything to do with like working with the government federal position?
Well, it could be, yeah. I mean, right before you said the word government, I was sensing government. When you said, do you think it could have anything, right when you said anything, I was sensing the word government, and then you said government. So it could have something to do with that part of it. Have you had any experience working in that area?
No, actually everything that I'm applying for is mostly entry level. And it's an entry level position.
Yeah. Why do you mention government?
Because that I applied particularly for that position, data entry with the government. It's a federal job.
Oh. Well, there's a possibility. Which one has the government entry level of the jobs that you're looking for? Which one? Which location?
It's an hour away.
Yeah. Well, that's the one that seems to be vibrating right now the most, Seema.
Okay.
That's what's vibrating the most right now. Are you living in an apartment or are you living at home with your parents?
I'm living at home with my parents.
Yeah. That might be the one that that might hit. Let's just say that we'll work with that one first. That's the one that seems to be at least vibrating today. It could change, but
okay.
You know, that's where it seems to be right now.
Okay.
It, you know, it's more encouraging than not encouraging. You know, it's not like you're not going to get a job. It sounds like something's going to come in here. So, you know, keep your chin up.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay. So, Neil.
Astral.
Travel. I'm sure you've had several astral experience in your dream state since the last show that we did. I know I have.
Yeah.
Weird stuff.
Just had one last night and was talking to a client about being in a situation that had to do with San Francisco, and this person had someone in their family live there, and this person's all the way over in Illinois. So, you know, you wouldn't think that somebody living in Illinois would have any connection to anything up north in San Francisco, but maybe. But
no,
anyway.
not, yeah.
You see, because
when they're natives of the Midwestern state that they reside.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the most. But what happens is when I go into the astral realm, which I can't even count how many times I've been there, but sometimes when I go there, I morph into to a client. I become that person. It's really weird. And I know I'm not in my body. I know I'm not, it's not in my identity. I know I'm taking on the identity of the person that I'm working with. And that sometimes becomes a significant factor because in all actuality, in the astral realm, a lot of morphing goes on.
Right. Well, we were talking about this on the last show also, that people that appear in our dreams in the astral realm often aren't those people. They're people or spirits taking on identities, souls taking on different identities. They can be demons taking on identities of people we know in our lives. So it's, you know, having the intelligence to be able to differentiate between what's what, whether you're doing, having a psychological dream or an astral dream, if you're dealing with impersonators,
it's true.
Things like that. So it can be very confusing.
The thing about the astral realm is you're getting outside of your body. So in getting outside of your body, you have more access to supernatural elements, which include morphing into energies, different energies, because you're basically dealing with your astral body, and your astral body has the ability to adapt, change, assimilate into different forms and takes on different energies, because we're in the world beyond the physicality of our connections. We're more in the metaphysical connection zone and the soul zone. So we not only travel through past lives in the astral realm, but we can actually take on the identities of other people. Surely the elements, sometimes what energies do from the astral realm to the physical world is that they come into us. They occupy our fields. And indeed, even in the most extreme examples, which get a little bit sinister in quality, when people work with Ouija boards or they work in dark magic, they will meet up with demons or entities that will adapt to their energy level and absorb their information and give it back as though they were divine beings. When in all actuality, they're just absorbing your energy like a parasite and giving you back what you already contain. the astral realm is filled with all those kinds of characters, both divine and not so divine. And when we enter the astral realm, there's always needs to be precaution, because you're actually leaving your body and going into a different universe. So it's like leaving land and going to the ocean and going deep into the waters or going into outer space. Well, take that example and extend it. When you leave your body, you're leaving the region that you are most comfortable in, your physical body, and you are removing that and venturing out into a realm that has a whole different set of dynamics, which now not includes solid things, but non-solid things. These are energy levels that still have thought form, so they take on some concrete significance. But in all actuality, if you're driving in your car in the astral realm, you're not really driving in a car. You're driving in a mystical element of travel. But we connect it to a car when we're in the astral realm. If you're moving, you're not really walking. Spirit, when you leave your body and you're in your astral body, you're not walking around. There's no walking. There's no feet. You're floating. But the body in the bed will say, well, we're walking or we're flying or whatever. But literally, the method of travel in the astral realm is you're always flying. You're always in the energy of flotation without anything upholding you because you're in your astral body. Now, unfortunately, maybe, we don't get a literal translation often when we are sleeping on our beds, because our bodies cannot translate literally what our astral bodies are experiencing, because they're two different separate worlds. All that can be done is there's a rough communication that's sometimes lost in translation, but oftentimes there is a direct link to understanding that your astral body is in that realm and your physical body is doing its best to try to understand what's going on. But there are two different elements, and that's why the more contrasting dream you have, the crazier dream you have, the more likely you are outside of your body and venturing into the astral realm.
Something else we were going to discuss, Neil, a little bit, is animal spirits in the astral realm. That's some of my favorite interactions that I have in astral travel. So the more that you connect to animals on a physical level and try to work with animal spirits in terms of seeing them with your third eye or working with them on a metaphysical level, as well as, you know, your relationship with animals on the earth, respecting them, not eating them, things like that, the more you're going to connect with animals in your astral travels in a positive way. So, you know, those are some of my favorite dreams, you know, when
this human being, you know, some people believe that if you eat an animal, you take on their spirit and whatnot. Those are the more Indian tribe, mystical tribes. Some of us just eat animals because we like the taste of it, or that's just the way it is. We're meat eaters. I don't eat animals because the animal spirits are my friends in the astral realm. And I have never encountered a malevolent animal spirit when I've entered the astral realm. Once when I was a child, I had a dream that a lion attacked me from the astral realm and bit my neck, and it was frightening. But that was when I was a little tiny, about 4 years old. And since then, I have never had a
negative experience in a dream with an animal.
Yeah. But, you know, that was when I was a kid, and that was right at the time when my grandfather was starting to help me understand the elements of the astral realm. I was only four then. I wasn't even in kindergarten. So the idea that when you go into the astral realm, yes, there are animal spirits there. And these entities are fabulous. Mm-hmm. They're the most playful. They're wonderful to connect to. They're full of wisdom and guidance. They will take you places where your own astral body would not have access to otherwise. So they have a certain element. You know, when we, as human beings, when we figure out in our storytelling about animals, it's always the flying horse that takes us somewhere, or the dog that leads us someplace. Our human minds absorb some of the information from the astral realm when we incorporate it into our fantasies about animal spirits in fairy tales and such things. But if you're having a dream and in that dream you encounter an animal, consider it good luck. It's usually a guide that an animal and energy is going to be assisting you in your travel throughout the astral realm, and sometimes for very specific reasons, because the animal spirits also have a direct link to language, the astral language. When you get into the astral realm, you're not speaking Chinese or English or Spanish or French or German or any of those languages.
Well, it's a vibrational. You're speaking in a vibration.
Yeah.
No.
You're speaking in a universal
may hear languages in that astral.
That's absolutely
state.
Correct. Your brain will make it into the language you're familiar with or maybe not familiar with, but you're not speaking literally in those terms. You may enter a past life, you know. You may enter a realm where that exists in some time element that you've had in the planet, and you'll hear a language. But the entities themselves, aside from the old recordings that we pick up on from past lives and whatnot, it's usually not a typical language of the tongue. It's a language of cosmic vibration, and it's miraculous. Because this is the way we talk to all living energies that are out there. And what I mean by living energies is the eternal life of the energy. And so it becomes a very strong universal language.
Let's take a caller, Neil, and we'll get back to this after our caller. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. No, I'm doing actually pretty good. I'm noticing my thought about, like, wildlife. I was watching this. I don't know if you guys saw the webcam live with the eagle, the bald eagle. And I was watching that for, like, the past 4 or 5 days and watching it hatch its eggs. And then they went and, I guess, picked up some fish, you know, to feed the whatever, and it was still flopping around. I'm like, I can't watch this anymore. So it's kind of like you can love animals, but that food chain is so brutal, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, I think that, you know, some people, like Neil, I mean, it doesn't bother you to see the food chain as much as it bothers me, but I tend to agree with Cheryl. I don't want to see.
I got mad. I'm like, I just turned it off. I'm like, I'll go to wipe, you know, the webcam live at the beach or something. But I was like, I was mad at the eagles. I'm like, oh, why do they and they're at the top of the food chain. But, I mean, everything was beautiful until you saw, like, a dead duck there. And I'm like, no. Okay.
I know.
So
it disturbs me, too. It disturbs me, too. But, I mean, that's the natural, you know, flow.
Yeah, having said that, then what is the big thing about people being vegan or, like, still eating meat, you know, or chicken? I mean,
I think that humans have a conscious choice. I mean, there are animals that are carnivores and they have to have meat to survive. Humans are more omnivores, and really, you know, it's not a requirement that people eat meat to be able to sustain their lives. But, you know, some people even feed their dog, I think, vegan food, which I think is ridiculous. I mean, dogs are meant to be.
Yeah, you know, that's a really tough one, because if you watch any of the videos on them, like, putting the cattle together, you know, for meat, you don't want to eat meat. So it's like, I know people have made that transition over, and I don't know if it's easier, like, different than regular meat, but it's something that comes up.
Well, I mean, I think in all of those situations, the way animals are treated up to the point that they're killed, and then, you know, the way that they're slaughtered is, whether they're a chicken or a cow, it's objectionable. I can't completely say I'm a vegetarian, because on occasion, and it really is on occasion, maybe I would say 6 times a year, I will eat fish. But, you know, I have guilt about that, because, you know, it's still taking a life. The other thing is the dairy farms. I mean, I was watching stuff on, you know, dairy farms and how the animals are treated and what they do with the calves, because you have to keep the females pregnant to keep producing milk and so on and so forth. So making conscious choices about the dairy that you buy, because some dairy farms are much more humane than others. For sure.
Yeah, it's just hard. It's actually just getting harder to watch that kind of stuff. But anyways.
Anyway, did you have a question, Cheryl?
You know, I guess you can look at, I had a tenant that was on an 18-month lease that is leaving after 2 months. She said she had stalkers. And, I mean, actually, I'm learning that the Sedona people, there's so many crazy people. It's like, I'm like, be spiritual, but don't lose your mind, you know. So the neighbor, she's saying, stuck in her, and she must move. So this was a really, really bad experience, the last couple of tenants I've had. And I just don't know why or what. I'm thinking, you know, maybe I need to go bigger and have more people under one roof, so when one person leaves, it's not a single house vacant. So I don't know what he sees with that, like what I'm doing maybe with real estate, if there's anything. Any feeling?
Well, in the last few calls, you've had some anxiety about real estate, and so it seems like you've gotten through that. Now that we're here, you're telling me that one of your tenants has an issue with a stalker?
You know what? This is my bad, because I know that her application showed 5 addresses in 5 years. And she said they were one-year leases and kind of had an excuse. I mean, she's like in her 70s. It was her and her cat. And, yeah, she said, I have this stalker. I have to move out of the house. Actually, I got a call from someone trying to check her credit. I'm like, she's only lived in my house. It's a wonderful house for 2 months. And so I called her and said, what's going on? Are you? She goes, I was going to call you, or I tried calling you, and there's a stalker, and I must leave, and I've got cameras, and I said, do you have proof? And then I'm just like, just let people go. You know, if they need to go, they need to go. And so then the other night, late at night, she says it was the neighbors. Well, the neighbors have the side yard. It's very close to the house. It doesn't mean they're stalkers. So I think she's mentally off. And so she does just need to go. I wish her well. But it's like, why is this happening? I had 20 people that, like, wanted to rent this house for real. And I'm like, I chose her, and the experience wasn't good. So,
Cheryl, aren't you having some difficulties? Like on the last show that we talked to you, you expressed some things about your son and stuff going on in your home environment that wasn't, you know, exactly stable.
Yeah, it's really my son at this point. But yeah, because we're getting some results on Thursday with him.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, hopefully they're okay. Matter of fact, I was going to go up to Arizona this weekend and until I find out what the results are Thursday, because if they're not favorable, I want to just be around, you know, for him. But yeah,
yeah, well,
I have that
I think,
going on.
I mean, I would think that the two are interrelated. I mean, there's stuff, you know, she's renting to people. She's having problems in the first chakra in her home, and they're kind of melting over into her business.
Yeah, perhaps, yes. You know, when you're renting to people, you're bound to get an assortment of people, and not everything has to be deeply read into. This woman sounds like, yeah, she's she's got some kind of, we can't judge her. I don't know. But on one level, it does sound a little, she's being stalked and she has to move. Sounds a little nutty to me. I mean, who would be stalking her, and for what reason, and why would she have to move? It's all a little crazy. I'm not.
It's the neighbor. She now confirms it's the neighbor. Well, the neighbor uses her side yard so she can hear them. She used to live on a second floor in an apartment, which there's no, but you know, one door in and out. Now you've got a house which has several entries, and you know, it's on the ground floor. So
well,
I thought that too when she moved in that.
Yeah,
you know,
but
maybe,
does she still want to? Now that she knows it's her neighbor, does she still want to move?
Oh, no, she needs to move. She needs to move because she said she had heart surgery since she moved in the past 2 months. I actually think she's really lying to me about everything. But if people want to go, you need to let them go. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
she just, yeah. Yeah.
You let her go.
And the sooner the better.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would let her go, and I would be good riddance. You know, let her go, and hopefully, you know, you won't have too much to – if she's only been in there a few months and she hasn't done any damage, you know, you'll be okay. I doubt if she has, but she sounds a little bit off to me. But
and most people are, I mean, in that area, you know, the people that I have it back up for rent, it's like, you know, I go to them. Now I'm more like stern about what I do. I think my boundaries were just not that great with people. And one couple said, we want to come see the house. And I'm like, tell me about the composition of your family. Oh, we have 8 kids. Well, no. Okay. So I'm not, the carpet's like really light. Another couple, she's like, I have 4 kids under 4. So it's like, I'm really slim pickings. I don't know what's going on, but it's strange.
Well, you know, I mean, the only thing you might do, Cheryl, is to redirect your thought form to bring in somebody who is, I mean, somebody can have a family of 4 and be responsible, and somebody can be one person, be a nightmare. But if you're looking at immediately at four kids under
no, 8. She said 8
kids. 8 kids, and the other one has 4 kids or whatever. Yeah, you're asking probably if, you know, you got to be prepared to experience wear and tear in the house with that kind of those kind of kids. You know, but if you're looking for, if you're, you know, that's your property and you can rent to who you want. You don't have to discriminate, but you get to choose. You can't discriminate. But if you want to choose and try to find somebody that you feel comfortable with and they seem responsible, I mean, there's no foolproof plan for that because, believe me, plenty of tenants take one person to court because they've messed up everything. So it doesn't.
No, my worst tenant ever was the single lady with the cat, you know, with a few cats. So when I took this lady in, I let her know, and you know, I had a talk with my friend, going, you know, it's weird. My worst experience was that one single person with a couple cats, and I've had better experiences with, you know, two, three, whatever, four people in the family. That's always ideal. I'm not going to take like four kids under the age of four.
You gotta do. You gotta, in your questionnaire, you gotta say, where are you on the anal stage? Are you very anal? Are you very clean? Are you obsessive about neatness? You know.
Yeah, but don't lie. People, all of them lie now, which makes it difficult. But naturally, if you have four kids under four, it speaks for itself because you can't avoid certain things. And the one family, she's like, we used to make $3,900, and now we make $1,500. How does a family of 10 make $1,500? And I'm going to rent to them. Because when then she was like, telling me she had Section 8, which, you know.
You're choosing to be a landlord. You have property. You're choosing to be a landlord. This is part of your world. You try to control it the best way you can, screen people the best way you can, get references. How do they leave their other places? You know, this is all.
Well,
you're bound to
have mixed experiences, though.
Yeah,
regardless of.
Oh, that's why I got rid of so many of them.
The screening is, regardless of how careful the screening is, but generally, I mean, like, would you say it's, you know, percentage-wise, how many tenants, or how much, what percentage of your tenants are good tenants, and what percentage have you had problems with?
Okay, well, that's weird because like 3-4 years ago, I had three tenants that were 6 years. And I used to have like 14 rentals, and I brought it down to like three or four and then sold the rest off doing owner carry. So those weren't an issue. So like when I told my friend who owned a mobile home park, I go, I've evicted three people in 13 years. He's like, how did you, you know, being through like 70 different people? And he's like, that's a really low number. But I think as of recent, society's changed. People are changing, you know, and we're like in this massive shift of consciousness. So it's like and people are more entitled and less respectful. And that's more of recent too. So it's like, I can't really go back 13 years. We're a whole new world today versus then. But so it's like, I almost feel like I'm just relearning this. I feel that society has changed that much that it's no longer what it was anymore. So when figure people, you know,
it may be, Cheryl. I mean, you don't own a supermarket where you can't control everybody who comes in and out. This is your property.
Well, I don't know
you
if
have
you
some sense of control. You have to, you know, if I were you, I would concentrate on putting my own energy, meaning your own energy, into the kind of profile you want and see how close the match comes. Because don't forget, your thought forms can manifest into your property area, which can act as a guideline as to who comes in and out.
Right,
because
but as I said, you know, the thought form is going to be affected by her state, her current state in her own life. So that can disrupt.
It can.
So
yeah.
You're like saying focus on what I want, manifest what I want instead of what I don't want?
Yeah, manifest what you want. And quit putting into it that the world is changing, things are changing, everyone's changing. If you do that, that thought is going to get into your thought form, and it's going to probably compromise the vision you're trying to find. So you have to be very strict. It's a very strict process. You have to assume when you're looking at your property that the world is your world, very narrow, only defines what you want to come in, and you look at it that way instead of trying to bring the whole world crisis into the element of your thought form.
Okay, I got it. Yeah, because I used to think like that, try to save the world, and it's too much. It's like, yeah, okay, I'll try that.
Well, don't lose your humanity and your concern for people, But when it comes to renting, just keep your wits about you.
So does she get a fee charged for leaving early?
No, because what can I do? I mean, she'll lose her deposit. She doesn't care. She said she's out, like, on the probably the 14th. She's getting her keys to the place on
so
the 7th.
But she's
going to pay.
Though. She loses her deposit.
Yeah, and she
doesn't care.
Yeah, she doesn't care. She's paying
so
April rent. She's only going to be there.
You get paid extra that way, essentially. You're
gaining. You know what? It doesn't feel like it. You know, even $1,000, it doesn't feel like it because I have to go in and I don't know how she left the place. Now I got to rescreen, put everything back in my name. So it's really, yeah, that's why I'm thinking just bigger. Like I'm getting ready to start a land project and I just want to go bigger. So if one person leaves and you have like 12 people there, it's not a big deal. This
okay,
is too
well,
isolated.
Yeah.
All manifested.
Well, good luck.
Thanks, you guys.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you know, when we're talking, that really wasn't wasn't a strong allusion to the astral realm. The astral realm is going to have a little bit of different energy in it. But there is an access to the astral realm when you're trying
to manifest, right. And we've been talking about this when we've been in our process of writing our book, actually, specifically, thought form, vibration, what you put out.
The other important part about astral travel and astral dreaming is we can actually set ourselves up to enter the astral realm before we go to sleep.
Right. I wanted to talk about that because, you know, I will do that every night. I try to set myself up to astral travel, but sometimes I end up in these lower realms. But, you know, I think with
you
practice
end up where?
In lower realms, which, you know, I mean, I share my dreams with you.
Yeah.
And that sometimes, you know, I would rather, you know, maybe encounter an animal, which happens often too, but.
Well, the inertia, the momentum of your spirit can determine how far you go into the astral realm and to what level you are. And if you're kind of working with a certain chakra in your body, you may enter that chakra theme in the astral realm. But the typical part of traveling in the astral realm, not dreaming, but traveling in the astral realm, I'm not talking about dreaming, is to lay on your back. It's a little bit difficult because laying on your back promotes snoring. And to tell you the truth, a lot of people die in their sleep on their back.
But they have
open.
Sleep apnea. Yeah,
yeah,
that can happen.
So I want to precaution you about that. But a good
but
way
you can
to,
set yourself up before and then maybe turn on your side afterward if you do some kind of
you
exercise.
Can. You can.
I would suggest
yeah, you
that.
Can. And when you're laying on your back, start to visualize like a movie in your mind where you'd like to go, what themes you'd like to deal with. And start to reenact a little movie in your mind about it.
Well, you can also imagine the cosmos or, you know, a starry sky, things like
that.
I think that's what you...
You can use visual aids like that, yes.
Yeah.
The visual aids like that might take you to a destiny of some sort in the astral realm, but that might be more open to the theme you might encounter. If you want to specify the theme, start to visualize the theme by waking up while you are asleep. You wake up your third eye. You start talking to it. You say, third eye, my eyes are closed, so I'm not talking to my physical eyes. I'm talking to my metaphysical eye, my third eye, my pineal gland. And I'm waking you up and I'm having a discussion with you because you're going to be leaving tonight. And I want to make sure I give you directions as to where to go. It's almost like giving somebody directions as to where you want them to go to pick up something. And you can say to your third eye, as you're visualizing this, I want you to go to such and such a place, and I want you to find out such and such information. And that part of your third eye becomes a vehicle, and it's filled with a thought form as to the directions. So imagine your astral body leaving your physical body. It looks down at the directions that you gave it and says, oh, it wants me to go to this house, this person, this time zone, and get information and come back. It's like telling your dog, go out, get the paper, come back and give it to me. So that's typically where it goes. Now, if your astral body is deliberately trying to follow your directions, but you are not a stable person and your thought forms get all jumbled up while you're thinking and you're thinking about other things, by the time your astral body leaves your body, it may say, what's this? They want me to go here and then there and do this and do that. So you have to be, the direction as to where you want your astral body to go has to be specific. You have to be very clear, concise, don't get mixed up, and don't jumble your thoughts and take the liberty of just free thinking when you're trying to
right.
Direct
so we're talking about beginning stages, because I'm assuming, Neil, that you don't every night guide your destination before you're going to sleep.
No, not every night.
So that's what I'm saying. So this is for people who are starting to
yeah.
try to venture out into the astral realm. Because a lot of times what will happen if you don't set yourself up before you go out, you may just have psychological dreams. I mean, it's not all, you know, it doesn't just, when you're beginning to astral travel in your sleep, you don't always astral travel.
No, I mean, if you're not directing it immediately to your third eye, or if your astral body doesn't naturally, organically come out during sleep, oh yeah, your brain will have a jolly old time just having brain leaks and doing all kinds of things, because your brain is electrical energy. It's going to activate and do its thing unless it's told to be silenced while the third eye takes
right.
charge. So the physical brain is always going to be a source of dream, the dream world in the psychological realm. We're not talking about that. We're talking about actually leaving the body and having a liftoff. So it's the difference between getting in an airplane or getting in a spaceship. It's two different elements, and one travels in a whole different area than the other. But normally speaking, when we sleep, we dream. We have so many dreams, you can't believe it. We only remember
a very, very small portion of those dreams. Yeah.
And most of our dreams last under a minute. They don't last that long, because the free association of a dream is like rapid. It's like watching a movie that just has quick scenes everywhere, and it's like rapid editing. So you're going into that zone, even though some dreams may have a continuum of thought and they seem to have a plot line, and some there seems to be relaxation and pauses in the storyline of the dream. They're actually really capsuled into maybe a 1-2 minute dream, but it may seem a long time. Now, some of us have a dream and we wake up, we go, oh God, I got to get back to that dream. I didn't
want
to
wake
up. So you try to go back to the dream. Last night I woke up and I was having a very interesting dream. And I am not always successful when I go back to sleep, but this time I was. And when I went back to sleep, I picked up on the dream. Now, what that means when you do that, here's what's going on. You go back in your body, but the impression of your astral body has not left that environment. So even though you wake up, the silver cord connecting to the astral body in that location has not been pulled back really back into your body. So what we're really saying is that in most cases, the astral body comes back into the body when you wake up. But there are times when you wake up
and you're still in that astral
and
state.
You're still in that astral
yeah,
realm,
that's
you
when
may
you
not
can
feel
re-enter.
It or sense it, and then you can much more rapidly re-enter it. So that's what happened to me last night. When I went back to sleep, my astral body was still remaining in the environment of my last dream state. And that's something that just for our listeners to understand that why is it hard to get back? Is it because the astral body has been pulled back in and it just doesn't have access to that room anymore? Now, there may be a way to gain access back to that room and here's what you do in that situation. You don't lay on your back. You lay on your side now. And you start to re-envision the dream you had. You start to go back there and you hold on to it as long as you can until you lose consciousness. And you should be able to feel yourself losing consciousness, because if you're aware of sleep, you can almost, there's a point in your sleep where you almost can feel where you're going to fall asleep. It takes a really minute consciousness to do that, because most of us just kind of fall asleep and we forget that we are falling asleep. But for many of us, we can get to a point where we're going, you know what, I'm almost falling asleep, but I'm still conscious enough. That's when you want to get to the best impression of where you want to go in that second stage of sleep. And that's after you've been asleep and you've woken up. Now you can astral project on your side, because your astral body still may be outside of your body, so to speak. And there's a more of a the opening hit is still fresh. So you don't have to sit there after a long day, lay on your back and try to astral project. You've kind of been sleeping, and the movement outside of your body is still somewhat open. So it's easier to access the astral realm that way. So, you know, those are some of the elements of what it is to move into that world. And you got to realize too, when you're moving into the astral realm, what the astral body also has to do is go through the immediate energy zone of the room you're in. So if there is a lot of your astral body can leave your body, but if the room you're in is filled with negative energy or filled with
that can affect your astral
energy,
travel.
Yeah. It's like you go out to your car and you're all ready to go out and drive and there's a windstorm or there's a strong rain downpour. It's going to be harder to get to your car and
so
drive.
Keeping up, not having a fight before you go to bed, essentially with your husband or wife.
Well, that may give you a nightmare. That may give you a nightmare. Well, that could even speed you to the astral realm.
Escape.
But generally speaking, if you're in a calm element of life and you're going to bed, take time to clear the room around you. Go to sleep, envision a lot of white light around you.
Don't do it with sage.
No, don't do it. No, you just visualize it.
Right.
You visualize it because your thought form becomes an energy that is encased in a field of energy that starts to clear out the space around you. So you can make a beeline to anywhere almost you want, and this becomes the control factor of astral projecting. The other part of astral projecting is to understand the idea of your breath. Your breath is not just breathing in and out, breathing in and out. We do that all day long. We don't have to think about it. Astral projection breath is a concentrated effort to analyze the breath in such a form that it becomes something more unique than just a rhythmic movement.
So
of your
this
lungs
is the breath that we're talking about, you know, moving from the nostrils into the third eye area. So you're just slowly bringing up that air into the third eye and activating the third eye that way.
Yes. And now your breath is not a physical breath. It's a mental breath. It's something beyond, it's even beyond the breath of yoga or whatever.
Well, the breath of yoga, I mean, you know, that's all breath. We can have a conversation about breath forever. Most people don't breathe properly. Yoga people don't breathe properly. I've seen yoga breath. It's not right. I mean, as far as getting a low breath that involves the entire body, really the most natural breath, if we're talking about proper breathing, happens when you're sleeping because your body's at rest. You know, a lot of people raise their shoulders to breathe, which is not the way to breathe. A natural breath happens low, but this is a breath on top of natural breath, essentially, is what we're talking about.
Well, it's an astral breath. I call it astral breath.
Astral breath.
Or
so
chakra
breathing. It would be ideal to be breathing correctly as it is to, you know, to then venture into that astral breath.
Then you venture into the astral breath. You're talking about breath coming from deep down in your body. The element there is the root chakra. The root chakra houses the kundalini. It's encased in the root chakra. It constantly blooms, especially if it's accompanied by a certain area of breath. Breath to the kundalini is sunlight to the plant. When you breathe properly and go into the first chakra, your root chakra, and you consciously awake the kundalini, and it moves gradually up like an elevator through each chakra system, now you're talking.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about astral breath.
Right. But I mean, that really supports or is supported by a good natural breath, how we're supposed to be breathing. Because when you're breathing correctly, you're breathing into that lower body space. I mean, there's an expansion throughout this, or in the circumference of the back and the abdomen, you're expanding there, and you can expand into the kundalini, into the first chakra when you're breathing. So that area should be filled.
That's right. It's the liftoff of the kundalini. The kundalini is best assisted by breath. So if it rises by the consciousness of breath, starting at the root chakra system, where it's housed, that's where it stays. then it moves gradually up. Now, that isn't to say that the astral breath can't always have to merge out of the third eye. It can't emerge out of other chakras, but that's maybe a situation we can talk about later.
Yes, we can talk about that situation later. Let's bring on this caller, for our last caller of the day. Who's this?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Andrea. How are you?
Hi, Andrea. Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Just joining the show. I got missed most of it because I was at work, so.
Oh, well, there's always the archives, Andrea, but what did
yes.
you, I'm assuming you have a question today?
I do actually have a question for you.
Okay.
I recently tried out for a TV show, and I'm just wanting to see, do you still think there's the opportunity of me advancing to the next level?
Yeah, I remember you. I think we talked to you before, did we not?
Oh, probably, yeah, because, I mean, I got an email the other day saying that everything was closed, so I'm just a little bit confused because I don't believe it is, but I just thought I would get, like, another, you know, see my higher
okay,
power.
Okay, so you had an email from the TV show saying that it was, I'm not sure what the email,
yeah,
can you?
Yeah, the email came from the AGT saying, you know, thanks for joining us, you know, in the audition, everything is now, everybody's been called back, you know, try again next year, but I still don't feel accurate. I still feel there's still more to come. But that's
huh.
what I'm feeling.
Let me, what's her birthday?
What's your birthday?
17.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Oh, sorry, 1763.
All
right.
Let me,
17, 29, 22. Yeah, I got a. Let me ask you something. To your knowledge, huh? Andrea, are there any African American cast members or anything in this?
The judges, yes, there's one.
There's one. Okay. The something about that energy, and I don't know, because I don't know you, I've never met you or anything, but something about that energy suggests to me a past life connection with you.
Hmm.
I don't.
That is a connection or not a connection.
It is. Maybe that's why she's feeling
it's not over.
That is a connection.
Maybe that's
you
why.
You have a connection. And I haven't yet explored this in depth, but you seem to have a connection with the African American individual.
Oh, I'm sorry, there's now two. There's two of them. One is now the new host. Nick Cannon actually left the show, and now Tyra Banks is the new host. And her top model show, she actually had a deaf person who was the winner of her show.
Oh, so this is what show is this that you're going out for?
This
is
America's Got Talent.
Oh, America's Got Talent. What's
mm-hmm.
your talent?
I sign music and sign language. Hence, that's why I think we have that connection.
I see.
Music and sign language?
Correct. Mm-hmm. I can't sing
no,
it, but I sing with my hands.
They just did a sign language presentation of Samuel Beckett's plays that's getting some variety and some notoriety.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, yeah, this is a bigger field. You know, and the element of sign language comes from the layer of a past life. So if you're attuned to sign language, you're actually an old soul.
Well,
okay.
You would demonstrate
I've been told that before.
Founded, so
yeah.
2911 too.
And so there's something, I don't know yet where this might go, Andrea, but I will say this in our closing moments. You have a past life connection with individuals on that show.
Hmm.
And at least in this lifetime, if not extending to a past life, it has to do with the individuals that are African-American on that show. They might have been Caucasian in the past life. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
And I don't know what you are. But that's what they are. I'm sorry?
You're Caucasian?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you're connecting to but that makes sense to me because if you're Caucasian and you understand sign language, that's a big contrast because you're not born to understand it. You're not deaf. You don't have a hearing impairment, obviously.
Nope.
And yet
nope.
You've entered this world from a past life. Well, you have a connection to African-American tribal energy, which in many regards utilize sign language as a way to communicate as much as our Native American tribes did. So there is an attitude that communication first started off as sign language. That's the basis of our communication. And you're going to a past life and connecting there. And it even involves this show that you're on.
But she's not on the show. And so she auditioned. She's trying to get on. And what she's stating is that she received essentially not a rejection letter necessarily, but like they selected the people.
Correct.
Right.
It was basically saying, thanks for coming out. All the audition people from videos and callbacks have been called. Try again next year.
So you did you submit a video or?
I did. Yeah. And you know,
so
what
it was a video.
Last
so you
didn't two
have
weeks?
A live audition is what I'm asking.
I did all three. I did all three. I did three live auditions and one video.
Three live. So did the video came first and then you did the live auditions?
It was in between because about 2 weeks ago, my video got 30 hits in 2 weeks.
I'm confused about the order, I guess, because usually
I submitted the video, I went to Florida, I went to Pennsylvania, submitted another video, and I went to New York City and then submitted another video.
Were these independent auditions or did they call you back?
Yes.
Like,
No. These are the first auditions that you actually go through.
Do you have to go to all these different states or were you just trying to?
I was just trying.
Trying
more
in three different
better
states. So you went
I
to
get.
All these
yes.
different long. So it wasn't like you got called back and called back and
no.
called back and you were
no.
like the end.
No.
You just essentially went to preliminary auditions
yes.
via video in three
Correct.
Different states.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. There may be the past life connection that she's feeling. Maybe that's why she feels she's not done, but she essentially
received
a closing letter.
What Andrea is on is a path of reconnecting to a past life source that is in the entertainment world. And as you move through that journey, Andrea, you're going to pick up different varieties of intensities in those individuals. What I'm saying is the African Americans that you encountered or perhaps semi-encountered in this experience is thereby leading to something ultimately where you're going to be making a connection. And that connection may have to do with an African American.
And it may not be on the show because
it may
already
not be on the show.
Right. So that's her question. That's what I was trying to get to.
Okay.
Her question is, essentially what's being communicated here is that there may be a chance to reconnect in the future, but it may not be in this audition or in this TV show situation.
Okay, so maybe not this season, maybe next season, or because I don't even know if I want to try out again.
Maybe a different show or something, but it sounds like it's closed. I mean, I would assume that if they sent you a letter like that, I mean, typically in auditions, you know, if you get a letter like that, that means it's the end of the line type of thing.
Well, yeah, the last time the website said these last four states that are auditioning for will be notified by the end of March, and they're still doing live tapings now. So that's why I'm thinking I still have all these signs that are coming to me from the universe.
If the signs
stop or slow down, then something would change.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. And Andrea, keep in touch with us and let us know how it progresses.
Absolutely. Well,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay. We are back on the air on Friday. And just to let our callers know, we will not be doing a show next week. So we're going to have one more show and then we are off until the following week in April. So we will speak with you on Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks so much.